pretty fast. And so if you have a handout, does everybody get a handout? Is there any handouts left back there?
Yes, Carol.
Okay. Last week we talked about David. Why David? Of course, we all know that. David has a relationship with the Lord as well as anybody in the Old Testament. And so what we saw, if you have your blank, if you don't have it filled out, point number one, the development of David's faith back in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. So at the very beginning, Samuel went to the town that David lived in, and God told him to go there and to anoint the next king, but he didn't know who that king was going to be or that person was going to be. And so when he got there, we went through the story about David had seven brothers that were older than him. They knew it was, God had told him it would be of that family, and they marched every one of those older brothers in front of Samuel, and God told him, no, it's not him. And finally, they're like, do you have any more sons? And so, and then this man goes, yes, I have one more son, David. I'm sorry, did I say Daniel? And then he came in. And so point number A, or letter A, it says Samuel's looking for a king by his physical appearance. That's what they did with King Saul. They got a guy in there that was big, tough, strong. He looked like a football player, and they're like, that's our king. But God doesn't look on the outside, does he? B, God is looking for a faithful man, if you have your hand out there, faithful man to be king. And a faithful man has a heart for God. So God was looking at the heart. Samuel was looking at the outward appearance. And so with Saul was also in the mix here with David. And Saul, if we remember the story, the Lord had kind of left him, and then he wasn't getting any peace, and he had some kind of demonic spirit coming and troubling him. And they went and got David to play the harp to calm him down and help him better. And so Saul was looking for a fix. He's looking for a man to give him comfort. That goes in your blanks if you meant from last week. And so, as I've mentioned before, if you ever studied King Saul in the Bible, after he becomes king, it's all him. Everything is him. And so even later on in the story, it's like when David fights Goliath, King didn't really act like he knew who he was. And they're like, no, wait a minute, how's that possible? Wasn't he the young guy that came and played the harp and all that? Well, he was a nobody to Saul. So Saul kind of, you know, he's like, he's beneath me. And so Saul just was looking for a fix. He's looking for a man to give him comfort. And then point number two, the displaying of David's faith in chapter 17. So we see the development of David's faith, and we see the displaying of David's faith in chapter 17. So David is one of these men that knew the Lord from an early age. And so some of you may have been in church all your life. Some of you may have been saved at a young age. And you know what? That's a great thing to happen. Some of us got saved when we're older in life. And yet we haven't had the opportunity of knowing the Word, knowing God, knowing having a Bible, having Scripture for the first part of our life, because we had ignored it or just didn't have the opportunity. And so you have to catch up. And so it's always better to start out early. That's why it's so important teaching our kids over on the West Wing. If we can teach them from a young age, and they can come to know the Lord at a young age, and we develop that, it's so much better than, you know, someone later in life. But bottom line is, it's what you do with it after you get it, either way. Well, anyway, under point two, a situation goes in your blank, is a cause of the exposed. So the Philippines come into the land is in your blank, of Israel to fight. Goliath challenged the army of Israel. So basically, Goliath challenged Israel's God, your next blank, and the men of Israel were greatly afraid, and Goliath finally challenged David at the end. And that's what upset David. He comes out to see what's going on with the battle. And it's not so much that, the Philistines are there fighting, but he kind of took it personal. He's like, number one, what are these Philistines doing on our turf? They're on our land. They're in God's land. That's basically what he saw that is. And when he saw Goliath was challenging the army of Israel, he basically saw it as, well, they're challenging the army of God. How dare they? And then the men of Israel, they're all cowardly. They didn't have the faith that David had. And Goliath, finally at the end, he challenges David. And so David took it personal, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to take care of this. So B, David put his faith in action. Again, he's displaying his faith. He told Saul, he goes, I'm going to fight this guy. Saul's looking at him like, you're a pipsqueak. You can't fight this guy. And he goes, hey, wait a minute, though. I've killed before. I killed a bear and a lion with my bare hands. That probably got Saul's attention a little bit. And basically David goes, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like them. So man, he's got some confidence. Okay. And so David put his faith in the Lord to give him victory. That's your next blank under number four. And I know I'm going through this, but again, we went through that last week. And so number five, David uses a sword to finish off the giant. Okay, a sword. Number five. He uses a sword. And whose sword was it?
Goliath.
It was Goliath's sword. Okay. And so David is a type of Christ who uses a sword, which is a type of God's word, to finish off Satan. Okay. Because that's who Goliath is picturing here. So, if David is a type of Christ, then Goliath is a type of Satan. And Christ will use a sword, which will basically be his word, which is going to go out and destroy Satan. We see that in the book of Revelation. So, why did David put his faith in God? Well, number one, and I'll just ask you guys that. Why did David put his faith in his God?
He's proved God before.
Okay. He had proved God before. Anybody else? The fact that he had a relationship with God make a difference?
He knew the scriptures.
He knew the scriptures. He had a relationship with God. God had come through with him before. Okay. Again, he knew the Bible. He knew the scriptures that he had. There was a cause. Because basically he tells him, hey, is there not a cause here? I mean, here's a situation. Why doesn't anybody take care of this? And then the last thing I'm thinking of that gave him confidence, on top of all that, he had been anointed to be the next king. So he had been anointed to be the king, and if he'd have been killed, there would have been no king. Why would God have anointed him? Because God knows all things. So did that give him some confidence also? But still, you still had to go out and fight this guy that's like 16, 14 feet tall. I actually think he's probably about 13 feet tall, because that's a good, evil number. Doesn't that sound right? 13's not a good number, is it? Okay. So, on the back of my page, I don't know if it's on back of yours. What was the key for these people in Hebrews chapter 11 in being people of faith? Okay? And so we've been studying all these. For Abraham, it was his obedience. When he obeyed God, that was key for him. For Rahab, it was admitting who God was. She wasn't even Jewish. She wasn't even an Israelite. But she admits who God is. And if you go back and look at her confession on who God is when she's talking to Joshua or to the spies, basically the spies, it's almost like she's accepting Christ. I mean, she's just admitting everything, who God is. And this is a pagan person admitting that the God of Israel is God. And for Gideon and Barak, it was putting their life on the line in battle. You know, it took Gideon a while to get there, because it was all this, you know, he was afraid and God kept pushing him and pushing him. But finally, at the end, he put his life in the battle, just like David did. Okay? And then for Samson, where did his faith come out and shine? What was the key of his faith? Well, it was basically the end of his life when he admitted that his strength came from the Lord. Because I think a lot of the times he thought it was all about him. He did everything he wanted to do. He was hanging out with the wrong women. He was hanging out in the wrong places. He was doing everything God told him not to do. But at the end, he admits that his strength came from the Lord. So, again, I kind of think that fits in with David. David had a relationship with God because not only did he serve him, not only did he know who he was, but when David sinned, he repented and he came forth and confessed it to God, and God forgave him. I mean, he did some sins in the Old Testament. He committed murder, basically. He had Bathsheba's husband killed. There's another one, a couple of things. What else has he done that wasn't quite right? I mean, he did some major blunders that he should have been killed.
He wanted to count the number of soldiers in Israel, and God brought a good old plague on him.
Right, and what else? Carrie, did you have something else?
Adultery.
Okay, yeah, adultery. That was guilt. I mean, he was guilty. He should have been executed. He had a man murdered. He committed adultery. He counted the people when, man, God really didn't like that, because that basically said he wasn't trusting God to help them in their battles. And so he should have been killed, but what kept him? Totally different than what Saul did. Saul never came back and confessed to God anything that God had done for him and where he had messed up. David, when he realized that he sinned, he came forward and addressed it. And that's what really made the difference between David and Saul. But anyway, so let's see where we're at here. And for Jephthah, it was his rehearsing his words before the Lord. So he had a relationship with the Lord. And if we go back and look at that, I mean, you know, he got ready to do something. He talked to the Lord about it. Okay? So he had a relationship with the Lord. And even then, he blew it big time with his daughter. I mean, big time. And you, like I mentioned, you can go from loving and serving God and you can blow it just like that. And so, but I will admit, he's in God's hall of faith because he rehearsed his words before the Lord. And for David, it was having a heart for God. Okay? So now we're up to Samuel. So if you got your, let's go back and look at Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. And so we're still back in verse 32. Hebrews 11:32 says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and who's next? Samuel, and the prophets." And like I said last week, hey, I can just get on the prophets and we'll just go till the Lord comes back. But I won't. We'll probably do that in 1 week. But anyway, we're going to talk about Samuel today. So Samuel, he's in God's hall of faith. Why? Okay. So let's go back and look at 1 Samuel. And we're going to pull some characteristics of Samuel out. Samuel's quite a guy. I mean, he is quite a guy, okay? So Samuel was a faithful man. But let's go ahead and read the story. And I know you guys know this story, but we're going to read through it again. The book, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read 1 through 21, okay? It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramoth..." Am I in the right chapter?
Chapter 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go to chapter 3. I'm like, I didn't think I was going to go that far back. Okay, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 21. "And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Means it was rare. Okay? It wasn't obvious. "There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." I have a note in my Bible that I wrote down. It said, Eli had lost his walk with the Lord. He couldn't see. He's an old man, but it's more than just his eyesight. That eyesight was a picture of his spiritual condition. Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel. So that tells me he's pretty young yet, isn't he? Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, and, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee." Boy, you talk about being in a tough spot. Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he seemeth. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So there's a few things that I'm going to pull out of this chapter that we just read that talks about or just expresses that Samuel was a faithful man. So we can see his faith by his actions. Old Testament is like that. Faith, it was your faith plus action. Faith plus works. That's what it was you needed to do. And that also is going to take place during the millennium and during the tribulation. It's, the thing is that, you know, we see these books and we see these movies that the rapture happens and then everybody can get saved because all they got to do is accept Christ as their Savior. That's not going to be the case. It's going to go back to the Old Testament, dispensation of you got to have faith, but you got to do something. So what are they going to have to do in the tribulation to keep their salvation once they accept Christ as their Savior? They're going to have to run for their lives, not receive the mark. They can't do that. That's going to be their works. Okay. Now, I don't know how that's going to fit in with doing the Old Testament law. I don't know how that works. I'll be honest with you. But if they take the mark, they're gone. So they have to have faith in the Lord Christ, but they're going to have to do something as a result to keep that. For us, we don't. It's all faith. It's all grace. It's not faith plus works. It's just faith. Our dispensation of grace is totally different than anybody else's. And so it's like God put our dispensation of faith right smack in the middle of his plan for his nation of Israel. And it's like you pull us out and you're just right back to what he started with. And so that's kind of hard for us to figure out. And that's why I've been seeing on the internet right now, and all these people that are saying, oh, there's no such thing as dispensations, the rapture's not real, you've been taught wrong. And I'm like, well, here's the problem. You're not following the Word of God. And they always want to bring it back, and I don't know if I mentioned it in here. There's a big thing going around on the internet right now. Well, the Scofield Bible and is wrong, and it was all, and all this stuff. And it's all false. Everything they're saying is false. Just go back and look at the facts, and you'll find it. And so, that's kind of a thing going on right now, among Christians, or among the Christian community. And I'm like, you know what, Scofield, from what I understand, was a good man, and there's a Scofield Bible that has some good notes in it, but you know what? I'm not basing my belief off what Scofield said. I'm basing my belief what the Word of God says. So everybody wants to come back and go, well, see, well, if you're basing it off of the Scofield Bible, which was just a Bible that had his notes in it, then you're totally wrong. Well, so dispensation's wrong. The rapture's wrong. I'm like, no. I'm not basing off what he said. I'm basing off what the Word says. So that's kind of what's been going on lately in Christian community. So Samuel is a faithful man. We can see his faith by his actions. And Samuel shows us the character qualities of a faithful man. Okay? Number one, a faithful man is taught by the Word of the Lord. Word goes in your blank. Now, we just read that passage. At the end, the last verse of chapter 3 says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by what? How? By the word of the Lord. A faithful man is taught by the word of the Lord. That's why our Bible is so important. That's why we got to get Bibles to people who don't have it. How can their faith grow when they don't have an instruction book? We got to get them a Bible. Okay, so a faithful man lets none of God's words fall to the ground. We saw that also in verse 19. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. What's that mean? The things that the Lord showed him, the things that he saw in Scripture, he didn't take for granted. He soaked it up like a sponge. You know, I think a lot of times, in my life, I read the Bible and I skip over a lot of stuff. I don't know if you guys do that. And so I got to read it 2-3 times. And then even when I see it, that doesn't mean I do it. Okay? Samuel had an idea. Hey, if the Word says it, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to do it in my life. And so that's the qualification of a faithful man, is knowing what God's Word says and making sure you don't ignore them, that you soak them up, you put them in your life, and you live them out. Okay? Number three, a faithful man is a praying man. Now, we didn't read that yet, but turn over to 1 Samuel 7:5, just another chapter over, or a couple chapters over. And so, when you look through 1 Samuel at the story of Samuel, you'll see that Samuel, 2-3 times, he's praying. Okay? And in verse 5, it says, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So who's he praying for? The people. Okay? He's praying for the people. So we see that here. Turn over to chapter 12 and verse 20. Chapter 12 and verse 20. And now the people are here, they're wanting a king. So they're getting ready to get King Saul. And Samuel's not happy about it because he knows their king ought to be the Lord. And yet they want a man, which ends up to be Saul. And verse 20 says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. He's like, okay, you guys want a king, and the Lord's going to give you a king, but continue to serve the Lord. Verse 21, and turn not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Verse 25, but if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Okay, so he's faithful in praying for people even when they're doing what's wrong. Okay. A faithful man is a praying man. A faithful man, number four, prays for others. Okay? So again, I'm just showing some characteristics that Samuel has that we should all be doing. Okay? A faithful man prays for others. And then a faithful man teaches God's word. Okay? We just read that in that last verse I read, that he's going to continue to teach them his word. So, Samuel is a faithful man, and he teaches God's word. And number six, a faithful man warns others. And that's what he's doing in this passage here. He's like, he says, let me see where I'm at. Verse 25, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So he's telling them, hey, you better follow the Lord. You better do what he says, because if you don't, he'll destroy you. He will destroy you. So he's warning others. You know, it's a lot like us today. You know, we give people the gospel, right? We should be. All of us should be. But, you know, there's a lot, we should be in that gospel message. It's like, the choices you basically have are heaven or hell. If you choose Christ, you choose life. If you choose to ignore him, you're choosing death, and that's gonna last for eternity. So, we need to be warning people also. You got a lot of preachers today, a lot of people, they don't want to talk anything bad. It's all uplifting, happy, tickle your ear messages. But we've also got to tell people, hey, the consequences of not accepting Christ is death and separation from God for eternity. Okay? So faithful men warns others. So Samuel lived a faithful life when most of Israel was going astray. Even though it seems that the whole world has gone against God, we need to be faithful. So here's a question I'm going to ask everybody. Are you living for the moment? Are you living for yourselves? I'm asking myself that too. Or are we living for the Lord? It's so easy to get caught up with everything that's going on that we gotta stop. I've gotta stop constantly and go, okay, so I gotta be more concerned about living my life for the Lord than living it for me. Because I don't wanna live just for the moment. I wanna live for eternity. I want things to last. There was a man that used to come to Kensley Baptist Temple, Manly Beasley, and he had a statement that if it's not eternal, it's not real. That makes you have to stop and think about that for a little bit. If it's not eternal, it's not real. Well, I'll probably say it is real, but it just won't last. Okay, like right now, if we do things here on this earth, but they don't last for eternity, he would say they're not really real. Well, I get what he's saying. We need to have that mindset. We need to put things that are eternal, not just things that will pass away. Okay? So we need to be faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm going to have everybody turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So what do we see in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians at the very beginning?
Gospel.
The gospel. Okay, the gospel's laid out at the very beginning. I like verse 58 at the very end. It says this, And I throw this out to most of all of you because, you know, most of us are Bible people and we've been working hard. Okay? It says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, there's times when we think that we're doing this, we're doing that, we're sweeping floors, we're cleaning toilets, we're doing all this other stuff. Does anybody see this? And why am I doing it? And why does it always seem to be me? I used to think that all the time. I'm like, hey, don't worry about man. Worry about what God sees. Because that's what's you're going to be rewarded on. So that's what we got to do. We need to put these characteristics that Samuel had in our lives, and it will help us to be faithful men and women. Okay? So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the people in chapter 11 of Hebrews in your hall of faith that not only are they listed there that we can look at their lives, but what we want to do is glean from that and put those things that they did that was right, their characteristics of faith in our life, so that we would just live our life for you. So I pray we would all do that. I pray we would walk worthy. And Lord, I just pray you would show us this week how to live for you, and give us people to talk to, give us the attitude we need to have. And Lord, I pray for Brian as he preaches the main message. I pray for the team's meetings that's going on today, and I pray that everything done here today would give you honor and glory. And in Christ's name, amen.